And we're back. You're listening to Lifeline on KISL Avalon 88.7 FM.
Aloha, aloha, ye. Aloha, ye. Aloha, ye.
Place I'd rather be.
That was Hawaiian Roller Coaster, one of the Bodie music picks from Max Ebb of Latitude 38. This next song is also from Lilo and Stitch, called My Little Grass Shack, sung by Lisa Loeb.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. I want to be with all the Connies and Wahine. I can hear old guitars a-playing on the beach at home now. I can hear the vine saying, Koma mama ka ua ika aloa lika. How it won't be long till my ship will be sailing back to Kona. A grand old place that's always fair to see. Swimming.
And before you get totally saturated by Hawaiian music, here's another from Max called Hawaiian Cowboy by Sol K. Bright.
San Francisco by the Golden Gate. Aloha ka Hawaiian cowboy. San Francisco by the Golden Gate. Aloha ka Hawaiian cowboy.
Na mai e ka puana lele hua o Roselani. Na mai e ka puana o na lei mei ui e.
He's like a Hawaiian Django Reinhardt. So our topic today is meant to be by chance. Things happen by chance all the time. We fool ourselves if we think we are actually in charge of anything. And I have a confession to make. It looks as if I am no longer a liveaboard. A series of chance happenings have led me to a landlubberly existence on a small farm where I take care of someone else's animals. Go figure. The boat is not offended and has actually hinted at the idea that she might get cleaned and repaired properly once all of my stuff that has no business being on a boat is out. 7 years of living in a small space with no kitchen, fridge, or shower. I now feel myself to be in the lap of luxury. It was not self-deprivation that I was after when I moved aboard. At that time, I did not feel the need for any of that stuff, and to do without was freeing and an adventure. But taking on new responsibilities can also be an adventure, and a regular schedule has its own set of rewards. I think of putting a hand into an old-fashioned gumball jar. If you take more than one gumball, your fist will be too wide to get your hand out of the jar. To have one thing, you must let another go. I find that letting go of the liveaboard life at this juncture is not the letdown I would have believed. I can always go back to my watery ways. It is rather a pause in that part of the story in favor of exciting new options. I had hoped for an even 10 years on the boat before retiring from that life. But that number is arbitrary, and I would not want to miss the chances that present themselves to me now because I am stuck on some random notion of an even decade. The Lifeline radio show theme continues, even without the liveaboard component, and hey, without the living in Avalon component too, because Lifeline can mean so many things. It's not just the rope or wire or netting that prevents you from sliding off your deck. It's also a rescue of sorts. Perhaps producing this show every week is actually a kind of lifeline, reaching out to Avalon where I would still be if not for a series of chance happenings. Lifelines can also mean a string of happenings that make up a life story, such as the snippets I offer you here, or the folds in your hand, read by a fortune teller to predict your life expectancy. I have used the name Lifelines before, in a cartoon strip I wrote in the late 1980s, long before I ever imagined I would be installing the real deal on a boat of my own. All by chance. It is by chance, by the way, just as it is by accident and on purpose. The English major in me cringes when I hear on accident. On connotes intent, while by is much more passive and random. By random means, by way of circuitous happenstance. But I digress. What chances have you let pass? Which did you jump on? Can you recognize a chance when you see it? Do you open the door when opportunity knocks? Can you tell when a chance is too, well, chancy? Do you attribute the good fortune of chance to events that were orchestrated so as to accept them as gifts? To deserve them more? Do you value chance happenings or dismiss them? Seeing an old friend in an unexpected place, taking a different route for no reason and discovering later that you narrowly missed being part of a traffic accident, finding your years-long lost Swiss Army knife in the couch one day? By chance seems to imply surprise, unanticipated positive events. It touches on superstition or belief in the unknown, or possibly just poor housekeeping habits in the case of lost items. Do people who believe in fate also believe in chance? Or are those things mutually exclusive? Are things like health issues or social status due purely to chance? Or are we simply ignorant to the factors that brought about the condition? For a long time, cigarette smoking was not linked to cancer. Getting the big C was and still is like losing the lottery. Your number came up, that's all. And a lot of people died before diseases now known to be caused by mosquitoes or rats or invisible viruses were understood as preventable. Similarly, a person might be lowly born or with the proverbial silver spoon in the mouth. Knowing one's place in society was to accept that by chance you were born into a particular life status. There's always someone trying to put you in your place, trying to make you accept that by chance you are beneath them. That only works if we accept it, if we believe it too, buy into the by chance, and therefore buy into the fait accompli outlook. All this to say that I recognize that chance plays a huge part in my life. My mantra is anything can happen, and usually does. This allows for the unexpected to occur without me getting too bent out of shape about it. Hopefully. I was a little bent when I was clear that I had to leave Avalon, but some great things have happened since then. I feel like I am surfing on the wave of chance, and I am carefully trying to keep my balance so as not to wipe out, left sputtering and coughing on the beach. That was more of Max Ebb's playlist for the Bodie, down below under all that blathering. We're winding up with more of his music, and to break the mood, let's listen to what he said was one of the worst Sammy Davis Jr. songs ever, the Hawaii Five-O theme.
If you get in trouble, bring it home to me. Whether I am near you or across the sea, I will think of something to do. I'll be on the lookout for you, and I'll find you. You can count on me. And don't you let them get you against the wall, 'cause I'll be there to catch you, and I won't let you fall. Call me if they hit you below. Call me when there's nowhere to go, and I'll be there. You can count on me.
You can count on me.
If they all desert you and you start to bend, you know I won't let them hurt you, and I don't pretend. Don't call if you got nothing to say. Don't call me if you just want to play, but call me on Devil's Day. You can count on.
For all those avid real surfers, here is the Young Jocks playing some sort of pulp surfing type song. Really, Max?
Shot, 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 shot
For extra weirdness, we've got Whale of a Tale, sung by Kirk Douglas for Disney.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me anytime that I would ask her. Then one evening, her flame of love blew out. Blow me down and pick me up, she swapped me for a trout.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
There was Typhoon Tessie, met her on the coast of Java. When we kissed, I bubbled up like molten lava. Then she gave me the scare of my young life. Blow me down and pick me up, she was the captain's wife.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
Then there was Harpoon Hannah, had a look that spelled out danger. My heart quivered when she whispered, I'm there, stranger. Bought her trinkets that sailors can't afford.
Sailors can't afford.
And when I spent my last red cent, she tossed me overboard.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
I was surprised by the positive response from some of my Bodie friends about the news I had moved back to land. The same people who lauded my efforts sailing down the coast are now pleased to know I will be safe on land. I perceive myself as in no greater safety or jeopardy on the dirt and rock than in the water. Remember, anything can happen and usually does. So it is strange to me when water is deemed the more dangerous environment. As time goes by, the memory of that watery reality fades, and I am hard-pressed to recall the me that chose to go to sea. This is one reason why I write the docu-comic series, The Live Aboard. The first issue, Doc Dorks, is in the Avalon Library on the back wall. Ask Kelly if you can't find it. I'm now working on the second one called The Berkeley Bubble. If you read Doc Dorks and like it, I could use your help printing the second. And yes, this is a little bit of an ad, so block your ears if you must, but it is a win-win. You might like it. I trade my printing company referrals for printing. I have to tell 35 people about what a great printer PFL.com is. Not hard. I've been using their services since 1996. When they, I mean you, place a first order, you get $40 off if you use my referral code. That turns out to be 500 free business cards. But wait, it gets better. I am willing to do the layout of your card for free, too. You email me all of the info and an image, and then you approve your layout. I send it in. The only cost is for FedEx shipping. It's $9.30. You get a beautiful boat card or business card, and I get to print the Berkeley Bubble comic book. See? Win-win. You can go to cynjing.com to find out more. That's cynxing.com. And that's the end of the ad, so just relax, all right? And now for some atmospheric sound effects. So here we are in what I'm going to call the Ranchito. We'll call this the Ranchito. And it's white out. There's fog.
and it's low and heavy. It's not cold, but it's not particularly warm either. It's beautiful. It's like particulates of snow. Looks a little bit like it's snowing with all the fog. And I'm going to feed the horses and the donkeys because it's that time of day. So now we're in the hay storage garage. Everybody gets their alfalfa. And the orchard hay. And then we go out and deliver it. See if they'd have anything to say about that. It's amazing that such big creatures can exist on this dry grass. Makes you wonder what we could exist on if we didn't have such expectations of variety. The difference between omnivores and herbivores, I guess. Back to my coffee. And now we'll look in on the chickens. Hi, guys. It's an odd selection of chickens. Let's see if they left any eggs. No eggs, just poop. Chicken poop. Good for our gardens. Let's go interview a chicken. So, chickens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Uh-oh, we're missing one. Damn it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I gotta find an extra chicken. What the hell? How can a chicken just disappear in thin air? Maybe we have to ask his friend. Where is your friend? What happened to the other chicken? It's the turkey. They say, they don't know. I'm gonna have to find out what happened to that other chicken. I will make some inquiries and get back to you. In the meantime, here is Ricky Lee Jones with the horses.
We will fly way up high where the cold wind blows, or in the sun, laughing, having fun with all the people that she knows. And if the situation should keep us separated, you know the world won't fall apart, and you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart. Can't you hear her? Oh, she cries so loud, cast her wild notes over water and cloud. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. till you go. I'll be right there by your side. And even then, whisper the wind, and she will carry up your rain. I hear all the people of the world. See them trying every way they know how to make their skin fly. Can't you see him? He's down on the ground, has a broken wing, looking all around. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You'll go riding on the horse, yeah, yeah. Well,
years ago, I had a job at a horse barn in Putney, Vermont. It was a hunter-jumper stable. Hunter-jumper just describes the kinds of horses who lived there and what their jobs were. I was the early morning feeder, as I am now. But instead of 5 horses, there were 35. Instead of heavy fog that looked like snow, there was real snow, and mist rising off the fields as the sun rose, making the sky turn pink. Absolutely beautiful. It was very cold at 4 a.m., but with the right outerwear, a pre-warmed insulated jumpsuit in that case, it was possible to be comfortable outside doing chores. I loved that job. I still have my barn jacket with West Hill Farm embroidered on the back and my name on the sleeve. I wear it when I go feed these California horses now. We come back to the things we love. 15 years later, and I am back in the company of hoofed and winged and furry critters. Engaged in farm-type chores that I like to call meaningful exercise. I'm not just flexing my muscles. I'm also making the life of a horse more comfortable. I think gyms are great, but they would be better if the energy expended there could be harnessed to do something. Generate electricity, perhaps. Like all those stationary spinner bikes? Or like the sustainable dance floor. Never heard of it? It was an idea launched in 2008. The Sustainable Dance Floor, or SDF, modules flex slightly when stepped on, which creates a movement that can be transformed into electric power by a small internal generator. Each module, by the size of 75 by 75 by 20 centimeters, can produce up to 35 watts of sustained output, between 5 to 20 watt per person. Consider what that would do for Avalon if Front Street were paved with SDF panels. All of that traffic walking back and forth could power the town. Ooh, wouldn't Edison be mad? You can rent the SDF panels, and they are mobile. So imagine Wrigley's stage outfitted with an SDF floor during a summer band fest. Of course, we'd have to get over our shyness and actually get up and dance. But if it were to benefit the community power feed, who wouldn't sacrifice their pride for that effort? They even have standalone units that have a screen powered by the viewer. You have to jump around for it to activate. There could be a station where tourists can plug in their cell phones and then they have to jump around to power it up. Hyperactive children could be employed to do the jumping, thus improving the economy with benign child labor and reducing psychiatric costs for their parents. Go look at the website, sustainabledanceclub.com. How might this technology benefit Avalon? Feeling entrepreneurial, anyone? I have a few more Max Ebb music picks to share with you. Here's the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini by Petty Buga.
Thank you.
And here is a nice version of The Dock of the Bay by Lisa Ono.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships rolling, and I watch them roll away again. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I had nothing to live for, looks like nothing's gonna come my way. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Looks like nothing's gonna change, everything remains the same. I can't do what dumb people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same.
Well, I'm not sitting on a dock by the bay anymore. Not so much, anyway. Heaven forbid I should become one of those boat owners who visits their boat just long enough to drink a beer and wash the decks free of bird poop. Speaking of bird poop, my best bird abatement jobs continue here on the mainland. I never tire of the enthusiasm some nature lovers have when in proximity to a raptor. Everyone seems to have a story about a bird of prey they have observed. My favorite was the guy who saw a red tail get hit by a passing car. He scooped it up and put it in the back seat so he could take it to a vet. He was on his way when he felt eyes watching him. The bird had come to and was perched on the seat back next to him. He remained cool, and so did the bird. The vet proclaimed, "The bird merely stunned," and he was promptly released. Here are some noises from interaction with public about raptors. The main voice you hear is Adam Chavez of Adam's Falconry Service.
We've got two red tails and a red shoulder that are always around, so it's pretty cool.
I have a question. There's a pair of red tails right here. This big tree right here?
Yeah.
I think it's actually the one on the left. You can see the nest over there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so they were actually here in our last little flight, so
okay, yeah. Interesting.
Well, they hunt this field right here. If you notice, you see holes everywhere, so you got to be careful.
Okay.
There's lots of squirrels and stuff out there, and these guys are hunting them all the time. But the squirrels make holes that you step in.
Yeah, we saw some fun stuff happen with the baby quails because the hawks would come and maybe land on our fence, and then the parent quails would just send those guys running, like, big alert, red alert, there's a hawk out.
Oh, yeah. And then, like,
so it's our first year at home in the hills, so it's been fun watching the birds of prey.
A lot of the neighborhoods now, they have housing tracks, and then you've got the green belts above them, and a lot of people have the bird feeders.
Yeah.
So those bird feeders, they work for the small birds, but they're also like the smorgasbord for the hawks. You've got the Cooper's hawks specifically with all their masters of ambush, and they'll hide out, and then they just wait for the moment, and then they come right.
We've got one that'll come between the houses.
Oh, yeah. Just come right. Absolutely. Yeah, we have it coming through.
2 weeks ago, right now, I watched the whole thing. Yeah. The dove landed on my back fence. Yep. Hawk is right there. It's craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they are really quick, and they know what they're doing.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah, I didn't even see it coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the object. It's funny, because when I lived in Tustin for a little while, we were in these three-story townhomes. And they're tall.
Were
they're
you
pretty
in
tall.
Ranch? Over there in
yeah,
Ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we used to live in Tustin Ranch.
Okay, you know, right near the white ones, right across from the sports park.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So they're horseshoe shaped. Uh-huh. Actually, they're like this.
Right.
Horseshoe, and you drive through the center.
Right.
So I lived dead center. There was a person here who had a bird feeder right there. And this Cooper's hawk knew the area and had been hunting it for a while, because I didn't even see it coming. It comes flying just on spec that there was something there. Comes flying right over the top of these and goes straight in. The doves are, you know, just eating, and they don't even see it. It just came in really fast. Before it could see anything, it just knew where they were supposed to be, came right over and caught one right there.
Well, and there are a ton of trees in that sports park, too, so he's probably hanging out. The bird's probably hanging out.
Yeah, maybe it spotted him from a distance, and then it kind of snuck around, and then it went right over the top.
I work for Adam's Falconry Service doing pest bird abatement, and we also occasionally do presentations for the public to share the amazing world of raptors. On this weekend afternoon, we were at Hamilton Oaks Winery in San Juan Capistrano.
So, would you like to tell us who you are for the radio show?
Yeah, Victoria Trevino. I'm a future falconeer.
Just kidding.
And you are?
So
Robin Lyons.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. She's got, I got a hat.
And we're out at Hamilton Oaks Winery. Woohoo! Yeah. In San Juan Capistrano.
And I love the mixture of the wine and the birds together. I think it's brilliant.
It's a perfect match.
And they have great fashion sense. So this is so far working.
The birds have great fashion sense?
I love the hoods. I like the gloves. I like the whole thing.
It all works.
The birds have fashion sense.
Well, the one has the snake skin hood.
This is my retirement idea. I think to do this and go retire in Napa on a fabulous vineyard and run the Falcons would be spectacular.
Wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Too bad they're so high maintenance.
Well, I can hire somebody.
Oh!
Right. I got a professional wine person here also.
Hello. Yeah. We can make it work.
We can make it work.
Raptor fashion aside, we still wanted to share the message about ecologically friendly pest bird abatement practices.
Not yet. So that's kind of what we're dealing with, but I think they're starting to get on board and see the impact that we're making. Now, also, what was happening at Poche Beach, this is another contract we had. There was a water quality issue. Any of you guys that know the San Clemente area probably know this. But that was one of the worst beaches around. It was on the beach bummer list for year after year. And now, because of our birds specifically, they had another falconer in there that was afraid to fly birds there, and it had no impact. We went in the next year and knocked it out. And now it's actually one of the best beaches in California. And the seagulls would you know, eat wherever the landfill, fly over, land on the beach, crap on it, in the you know, in the water there. And there's also a surf camp there. So you guys, you know, the kids want to go out and surf, and it's just there's a really bad environment. But now, so that surf camp loves us too, because we cleared up the water for them. Yeah, so that's one. And then another, especially in this area, is you've got another group. You've got another group that we have to worry about. There's 5,000 crows that nest down here near Saddleback College. Huge group of crows. If you're here at night, you'll see them coming from everywhere, going back at night, flying out in the morning to wherever they're dispersing to.
So, 16
a yeah, that they do. So I have a contract with the Homeowners Association down at Rancho Mission Viejo, which is right there, that new new housing tract right there on the corner of Ortega. And they, initially when I started, there was hundreds and hundreds of crows in there too. So I'll go in there, and it's not full time, but, you know, we're doing what we can with the hours that they want to pay to work it, and we're pushing those crows out of those valleys. And I pushed them really hard initially with these Harris hawks, and so now, and the crows are pretty smart. Like the seagulls, they're willing to sacrifice one of their own, you know, once they get really hungry, but the crows are not. So what'll happen is, now when I drive in, they recognize my truck. A lot of the times, if I just drive up to them, they fly off. If they're really brave, I get out of the car. If they're super brave, I actually open the door and maybe even pull out a bird. And then what typically happens, you know, one of them is gonna be up there like a scout, and he's gonna alert everyone else. Okay, they're in the area, and it's gonna fly around and scream and scream and scream. And then, you know, I look around and we see maybe 5 or 6 crows, and that's it. Next thing you know, there's hundreds of crows that just come from everywhere, all over that valley that you didn't really know they were hidden. And they're going to fly around and scream and make a ton of noise for about 3 minutes, but then they're gone. And so that's kind of how that works. For something like that, you need I'll bring 2 Harris hawks with me. And then later on, I'm just pulling them out, and I'm really not even getting a chance to fly them. What I'm doing for them right now is I'm doing 3 days a week of 4 hours. So I'm giving them 12 hours a week. And I was doing it 4 hour blocks. Now I'm just kind of mix it up. I might go in the morning. I might go in the afternoon. I might go 6-7 days a week. Just whatever I think I need to do.
Remember we started this show off with an interview with Sal at the landfill? That was another pest bird abatement gig. Very different from working at Poche Beach or a resort area like Avalon. Different tools, different challenges. It looks simple when the bird is in the air, but there's a surprising amount of thought and planning that goes into outsmarting the pest birds. Okay, we've got one more Max Ebb song. It's called Bringing Home the Oil, Gulf Oil.
I'm an able-bodied sailor, and I've often crossed the line on whaling ships and sailing ships and ships of every kind. But now I've got the very best job I've had for many a day. I'm working on the tanker, bringing oil to Fancy Bay.
Hey, bringing them home the oil they ride, bringing home the oil. Sailing all around the world, bringing home the oil. Oh, what, they're not a giant ship, it's very hard we file. But sailing into Fancy Bay, bringing home the oil.
She is the biggest ship, me lad, that ever sailed the seas. Yet graceful as a swan she goes, we sail her at our ease. From Araby around Cape Hope, we proudly make our way. We keep all Europe moving from our base in Bantry Bay.
Hey, bringing home the oil, me boy, bringing home the oil. Sailing all around the world, bringing home the oil. A working on a giant ship, it's very hard we file. Sailing into Bantry Bay, bringing home the oil.
They're building other tankers now to speed more oil to you. The universe, go it, me lads, Japan and Portugal too. Also the universe, Ireland, I'm very proud to say, is among the giant ships that's bringing oil to Fancy Bay.
Hey, bringing home the oil, me boy, bringing home the oil. Sailing all around the world, bringing home the oil. A working on a giant ship, it's very hard we pile. A sailing into Fancy Bay, bringing home the oil. A working on a giant ship, it's very hard we pile. A sailing into Fancy Bay, bringing home the oil.
Thank you, Max, Ebb, for your Bodie playlist. If you have songs you want to hear on Lifelines, please email me at seashell@kislavalon.com.
Oh, beneath its snowy mantle, cold and green, the unmown grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. And the snowbird sings a song he always sings, and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young and true. Anything that it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within, for the thing that I want most in life's the thing that I can't win. Oh, spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. Oh, the one I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away. She'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Oh, spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. Oh, the one I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away.
This is Max Ebb from Latitude 38, and I'm listening to KISL Avalon 88.7 FM.